Amen. Well, I just want to take a few minutes. I love songs. I love singing. I refuse to show anybody my playlist because I love a variety of music. And you might look at the songs I listen to and say, this guy is psycho, right? But I just love music. You know, music, it is so helpful for getting through life. But you know, I listen to different music today than I used to listen to. And I think that's just a natural progression. As you grow up, some songs take on different meanings, or some songs lose their meaning, or sometimes you just need something else to meet the moment of life. We sing for a lot of different reasons. We sing for joy, we sing out of pain. And I want to look at a passage of scripture this morning, just for a few minutes, and look at it through the lens of the songs we sing. Because, you know, one day we're going to sing very different songs. And there are songs that we sing today that we won't sing anymore. So turn with me, if you can, to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, just a couple of verses. And we're going to look at what this has to say about where we will be for eternity. Those who have trusted in Jesus, those who, as the scriptures say, are victorious with him. And the songs we will sing. Let's look at just verses 3 and 4. It says, well, we just sang this song. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Sometimes we sing just to get through the pain of life. Just handling the pain that is part of everyday life is responsible for entire genres of music. I grew up on country music. I love blues. But there are songs of pain in every genre. Sometimes we sing to get through pain. How many of you had a breakup song? Be honest. Right? How many of you were driving around in your 1992 GMC Sierra, right, saying, shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling, you give love a bad name. Right? I'm available. So I better keep going. I'll take Missy's job. I don't want to do that. She's not here. I can say that. She's helping in the kitchen. Sometimes music helps us heal. We sing just so we can get through hard times, right? It puts pain into perspective. Music tells us that we're not the only people who are going through that at the moment. But, you know, it helps us to get over the pain, but it can't take it away. Music, as good as it is, cannot take pain and remove it from us completely. Only Jesus can do that. And that's what it says here. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. And you know what he doesn't say? You know what's amazing about this is he doesn't say that he's going to just command the tears to leave your eye. He doesn't say he's going to sit up out of the clouds and say, tears disappear, no more tears. No, this is so personal. Jesus, embodied in flesh like you and I, at the end of all time, on a new earth under a new heaven, will come to you, Jeremy, and every tear, every pain, every sadness that you felt, that's going to be past tense, and he is personally going to take that away from you. Jesus is going to take away the pain because he is the only one who can do that. Then he's going to make sure that no pain ever replaces that old pain. He says, it will be no more, and he lists four things. Death. I know we've all lost people that have, man, just wrecked us and left a hole in our life. And time does bring some healing, and time helps us to put some distance from it, but it never fills the hole that that missing person left in our life. It says mourning or crying when you're so filled with that emotion that you just burst out. And pain itself, whether it's emotional pain, mental pain, spiritual pain, whether it's Legos, stepping on a Lego at 3 a.m., it's gone. He says, it will be no more. He calls it the old order of things. You know, sometimes the response to pain, the only response to pain and sorrow and hurt in this life is to just say, well, that's just the way things are. You know, when you're trying to explain why bad things happen to kids, one of the things you have to eventually say is, that's just, we live in a broken world. That's just the way things are. It hurts. You know, one day we're going to be on a new earth under a new heaven, and somebody's going to say, why doesn't anything hurt? Why is there no sadness or sorrow? And Jesus is going to say, that's just the way things are. Jesus is going to say, pain, sorrow, sadness, that is so last millennium. We don't do that here, right? That is passé. That was the old order of things. I want you to imagine a world where everything that makes you afraid, sad, or hurt is just the old way. It's in the past, because that is the future for those who trust in Jesus. And we're going to be left with just songs of joy. Look at verses 5 to 7. He says, he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these are trustworthy and true words. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And he who overcomes or is victorious will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Everything will be new. When's the last time you had something new? Do you know the excitement that you feel when you get something new? It can be something like a new car. It can be a new phone, or it can be a new relationship that you're excited about, or you hear a new song on the radio, or maybe it's a new romantic relationship that you've found, and it's just so exciting. It's thrilling. It's joyful. That feeling is captured forever in the eternal state when we are with God. We're going to be walking around in resurrected bodies one day, and we're going to be living a life that is so familiar and yet so different, because we've never felt this life without sin. We've never known this new world where I can experience joy and not worry about what's coming down the pike, where I can experience excitement and not worry about pain or sorrow that's going to come later. And he says it so sure. He's so confident. He says, listen, write it down. Put it down. This day I have told you. I have made the call. Jesus, 90 AD. Write it down, John. These words are trustworthy. They are true. They will come to pass. You know how I know? Because I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And the band's going to come up and they're going to lead us in a few more songs. But think about what that means, of the sureness of what's going to happen. He says, I was there when the first pain started. I will be here long after pain has ended. You think you know something about pain. I was there when the first pain was felt. You can count on me, because I am the Ancient of Days. I will live forever. And he doesn't just outlast pain. That's not what he's saying. He defeats it. Because the one who lives forever, the Alpha and Omega, went through the worst pain that you can imagine. He went to the cross of his own will, voluntarily, and he experienced the height of physical pain when they whipped him and beat him and tortured him and spat on him and then nailed him to a cross. The cross was the height of physical pain. It was the height of emotional pain when he was abandoned by his closest followers and dearest friends and left to be arrested and tortured. When he was hung up there and humiliated and spat on and mocked, and people made fun of him as they walked past him. It was the height of spiritual pain when the sinless Savior, who never did a thing wrong, finally knew what it was like to feel wicked because your sin and my sin was placed upon him. He said, I will take Steve's sin and I will carry it on the cross. And he felt for the first time what it was like to be a wicked sinner and deserve punishment. And he accepted that punishment that our sin deserves. And when he did that, He went through the height of pain and sorrow and sadness, so that when he rose from the dead 3 days later, it wasn't just, hey, I started living again. It was, I have rebuked sin. I have overcome death. I have beaten pain and sadness. It has no power over me because it did its absolute worst. It put me in the grave, and here I am again, the Alpha and the Omega. I was here long before death. I'll be here long after death. I have more power than all of these things. And then he shares it by saying to those who overcome, those who are victorious, those who conquer, he's talking about you, those who trust in what he did on the cross, those who trust in his new life coming out of that tomb. He says, my victory isn't mine alone, but it belongs to all of those who would give their lives for me. But that's the key. That's the key. So I want to ask you, are you stuck? Are you stuck in a life of pain and sadness and hopelessness? And you just feel like you don't know what victory is. You can't experience what it's like to be victorious over this world. Let me tell you, there is a pathway to get out of that. And I want to encourage you, Pastor Angel, put your hand up real high. Pastor Angel's right over here. I'm over here. I want you to come find me after the service, or Pastor Angel, or one of our elders. He said, I need that. Whatever Jesus has, whatever that life is, whatever that power is, I need that. I need my tears wiped away. I've been living things my own life. I've been doing things my own way, and I don't want to do that anymore. I need Jesus. This is your opportunity to be one of those victorious people, to know no matter what you're going through now, no matter what pain or mourning you're feeling, that one day Jesus is going to wipe it all away. You're going to live a new life on a new earth under a new heaven, and it's going to be absolutely glorious.